Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building what I call a jungle warfare call and response riff arrange system for heavyweight sub-impact in Ableton Live 12. And this is not just about making a bassline. This is about making a drop that feels like a conversation, where the drums strike first, the bass answers back, and the sub shows up like it actually means something. A live drum and bass drops fall flat, because they loop too much without really arranging. You get a pattern, sure, but not a story. And in heavyweight jungle, rollers, darker DNB, and neuro-influenced stuff, the difference between that's okay and that's lethal is often just phrase design. If the sub plays every note, it stops feeling heavy. If the bass never leaves space, the drums get buried. So today we're building contrast on purpose. We're going to make a 4-bar system first. Not 8 bars. Not 16. 4 bars. That forces decisions. Every note has to justify itself. We'll make a call phrase, then a response phrase, and we'll use Ableton's stock tools to shape, resample, and rearrange the whole thing until it hits like a proper pressure system. Start by setting your tempo around 172 to 174 BPM. That's the sweet spot for modern DNB energy. Then set up 3 core tracks, one for drums, one for sub-bass, and one for the mid-bass or bass lead. Keep the drum groove simple at first. Put the snare on 2 and 4. Then layer in a break or ghost percussion if you want that jungle motion. If you already know your drop drums, sketch them now. If not, just get a working grid in place. The important thing here is that we're composing with intention, not decorating a loop. Now let's design the sub, and this is key. Treat the sub like its own musical actor, not a shadow of the bassline. Load up operator or wavetable on a dedicated MIDI track for the cleanest heavyweight result. Keep it simple. A sine wave or near sine is your best friend here. Make it mono, no unison, and keep the amp envelope tight. 0 to 5 milliseconds on the attack, and a controlled release somewhere around 80 to 180 milliseconds depending on how busy the rhythm is. You can add a tiny bit of glide, maybe 20 to 60 milliseconds, if you want subtle movement between notes. But don't turn the sub into a wobble machine. The point is weight and discipline. When you write the sub, don't just mirror every bass note. That's a common mistake. In a call and response system, the sub should often reinforce the first hit of the call, then disappear, while the mid-bass gets busy, then return as a payoff. That's where the heaviness comes from. Wait through absence. That's the trick. For example, if the bass lead plays a syncopated answer in bar 2, maybe the sub holds back and only lands on the strongest note, or maybe it drops out completely until the response. That kind of restraint makes the next sub-entry feel much bigger. Now move to the mid-bass voice. You can use wavetable, operator, or analog. If you want a darker DNB sound, a restyle patch works really well. But don't overcomplicate the sound yet. We're focusing on phrasing first. The bass line should be hummable rhythmically, even before you care about tone. Here's the mindset. Treat the call like a question. It needs a clear accent pattern. If you can hum the rhythm before you even think about the note choices, that's a good sign. Usually, a strong call phrase has one main hit, one secondary hit, and then a bit of space before the next movement. It might land on the offbeat. It might stab on beat 1 and answer on the end of 1. It might use a short pitch drop into the downbeat. The exact note choice matters, but the rhythm matters more. A solid starting shape could be something like this: a hit on beat 1, a short answer on beat 1.3 or 1.4, then leave space for the snare on beat 2, and maybe the pickup before beat 3. That gives you a motif that feels tight, memorable, and readable over the drums. And that's the whole point in DNB. The drum language is already highly accented. So if the bass also speaks in giant sentences, the mix gets crowded fast. Shorter is often better. A sharp little call gives the ear something to grab onto while the snare and break still cut through. Now build the response phrase. This should not just repeat the call with different notes. It needs to answer in a different way. If the call is rhythmic, the response can be more legato. If the call is mid-range and aggressive, the response can go lower and heavier. If the call is dense, the response should be minimal. This is where you start thinking in contrasts. Change at least 2 things at once if you can. For example, change note length and register, or rhythm and timbre. 1 change can feel like a tweak. 2 changes feel like a real reply. A simple way to do this in Ableton is to duplicate the MIDI clip and edit the second half of the 4 bars. Try a drop and hold response, where 1 note stretches longer with some filter movement. Or mute the mid layer and let the sub answer alone. Or make the response a bit wider and more open, while the call stays tight and dry. Another option is to shift the response rhythm slightly off the grid so it lands with menace instead of predictability. The important thing is that the response should feel like the answer to the story, not just another variation of the same loop. Now let's shape the tone using stock Ableton processing. On the mid-bass track, add saturator for harmonic density. Use auto filter for motion. If you need a bit of grit, add redux slightly, but be careful with it. You do not need to trash the sound to make it heavy. In fact, heavy often comes from control. A good starting point is saturator drive around 3 to 8 dB with soft clip on. For the filter, move the cutoff within a range that suits the tone, maybe somewhere between 200 Hz and 2.5 kHz depending on how bright the patch is. If the bass needs leveling, use compressor or glue compressor gently. A slow attack and medium release can help the movement stay punchy without flattening it. And then, once the part is working, resample it to audio. This is where the advanced arrangement magic really starts. Resampling turns the synth line into something you can chop surgically. You can reverse a tail into the next phrase, stutter a note before the snare, freeze a specific movement, or print exactly the response you want. In Live 12, record the bass onto a new audio track. Once it's rendered, edit the waveform. Try pulling a reverse pickup into the next call. Try cutting a tiny stutter right before a backbeat. Try a single reversed note at the end of the phrase to create that jungle-style forward pull. Audio gives you options that MIDI just can't. Now let's talk about the relationship between drums and bass, because this is where a lot of people lose the impact. The low end needs discipline. The kick and sub should not fight on every beat. The snare should stay obvious. The break should add motion without turning into mud. If you use a break, chop it in clip view, set warp mode to beats, and trim the messy tails. Keep the transients where they matter. Use utility if the break is too hot. The break should support the groove, not steal the punch from the main hits. You can also add drum bus on the drum group if the drums need more snap. Drive it a bit. Keep boom low or even off for heavy DNB, and bring the transients up slightly if needed. But remember this rule. When the bass call is dense, the drums should be simpler. When the response is sparse, the drums can get busier. That push-pull is what makes the arrangement feel alive. Now we're going to automate tension across the phrase. In arrangement view, automate filter cutoff on the bass lead, delay throws on the final note of a response, and maybe subtle volume rides on the bass itself. You want the drop to breathe. A strong structure might look like this. Bars 1 to 4 are dry and focused. Bars 5 to 8 introduce a wider variant or extra harmonic layer. Bars 9 to 12 remove one of the call hits. Bars 13 to 16 add a fill, reverse, or pitch twist. That way the drop evolves without losing identity. And this matters for DJs and replay value too. Every 16 bars, the ear wants something to change. It can be small. It doesn't need to be a huge switch up. Maybe you open the filter a little. Maybe you remove one bass hit. Maybe you swap the break fill. But something has to move. Here's a very effective move. In bar 8, open the bass filter just a little, maybe 10 to 20%, and throw a short delay only on the last note of the response. Then in bar 9, pull it right back. That contrast makes the return feel heavier than if you just kept everything static. Now let's get serious about stereo discipline, because this is where heavyweight low end either becomes massive or falls apart. Keep the sub completely centered. Put utility on the sub track and set width to 0 if needed. Check mono regularly. The sub should not be wandering around the stereo field. On the mid-bass, you can introduce width above the low end, but do it carefully. Maybe a subtle chorus ensemble, or some detuned voices in wave-eatable, but only in the upper harmonics. As a rule, below around 120 Hz, stay mono and stable. The center is the engine. The sides are decoration. If the bass feels wide but weak, the stereo image may be stealing punch from the middle. In heavyweight DNB, that center lane is sacred. A few coach notes before we wrap the workflow. If the drop feels busy but not big, reduce notes before you add more processing. Phrase design beats plug-in stacking in this style. If the bass and drums feel glued together too early, check whether the sub is entering too soon. Late entry often hits harder than constant support. And use clip gain and velocity as composition tools. Small level differences can make a phrase feel like it's leaning forward or backing off. There are also a few advanced variations worth trying once your core loop works. One is phrase inversion. Take the rhythm of the call and move it into the response, but shift it to a different octave or interval shape. Another is a bar 2 or bar 4 pickup swap, so not every phrase ends the same way. You can also try harmonic tension in the call and root weight in the response. That makes the answer feel resolved and heavier. Another nasty move is the 1-bar mute variation. Every 8 or 16 bars, mute the call completely for 1 bar and let just the drums and sub carry the groove. When the call comes back, it feels way bigger. Negative space is powerful. Sound design-wise, you can build a 2-layer bass system, one pure mono sub layer, one character layer with distortion, formant motion, or detuning. Keep them separate so you can mute or swap the character layer during the response. You can even resample an intentionally overloaded version and compare it to the clean render. Often the best result is a blend of both.